come you masters of war. You that build the big guns, you that build the death planes, you that build all the bombs, you that hide behind walls, you that hide behind discs. I just don't want you.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing, and joining us now is Dr. Philip Butler, who's a 1961 graduate of United States Naval Academy and a former light attack carrier pilot. In 1965, he was shot down over North Vietnam, where he spent 8 years as a prisoner of war. He's a highly decorated combat veteran who was awarded 2 Silver Stars, 2 Legions of Merit, 2 Bronze Stars, and 2 Purple Heart Medals. He completed his naval career in 1981 as a professor of management at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California. Today, he's a peace and justice activist with Veterans for Peace, and his website is philipbutlerphd.com, and his autobiography is 3 Lives of a Warrior. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dr. Philip Butler.
Good morning, Ian. Thank you for inviting me this morning, and also I want to thank you for calling me a little early and letting me tune in on your interview with Robert Baer. He's a brilliant and interesting guy, and I really enjoyed the interview and could even foresee some things that you guys talked about that tie in with our old friend John McCain.
Well, given that he's not only does John McCain want to go to war against Iran, he's calling for a bombing campaign against Syria. In the movie last night on HBO Game Change, there was an interesting moment in the movie where, towards the end, where John McCain, after he's lost, says, you know, look, my grandfather, he died the day after World War II ended because he'd lost his mission, was over, and he simply dropped dead. And my father, when he retired, Admiral McCain, when he retired, he was completely lost, and I don't want to end up that way. I'm going to keep on fighting. Well, it sure looks like he's not only keeping on fighting, he's keeping on campaigning. It feels like he never gave up campaigning against Barack Obama.
Yeah, I think that he really dislikes and distrusts Barack Obama when it comes down to the bottom line. Listeners might not know that John McCain and I were briefly at the Naval Academy for the same time. I was a plebe or fourth classman at the Academy, and John was a first classman. And ironically, that life is stranger than fiction. John and his roommate lived right across the hall from me, albeit there were 3,000 of us midshipmen, but I was in the 17th company with John, and so got to know him that year. And then, of course, some years later, he followed me into the Hanoi prison system. He served 5.5 years there as a POW, and so I was there a couple of years ahead of him. But at the time that we were at the Academy, I would certainly call him a friend, had interesting experiences with him, but afterwards that all changed because, in my opinion, John McCain never learned the lessons of war after even all of his experiences in Vietnam. So, you know, I really honestly think that our nation dodged a huge bullet when John and his handlers decided to select Sarah Palin, who turned out to be an airhead, and probably kept him from being elected, because I think if McCain were president right now, we would be not backing down from 2 wars, Iraq and Afghanistan. We would be heavily embroiled in probably 4 wars, and who knows how that could have expanded throughout the Middle East. But I think he would have upped the ante in Afghanistan, Iraq, and probably by now we would have bombed Syria and Iran, or maybe along the way we would have dropped some bombs in Libya too. I don't know, but he just is so bellicose. It's incredible.
Well, it's interesting that the film, HBO film last night, Game Change, I think pretty much makes the case that Sarah Palin brought down the ticket at the same time, of course, energized the Republican base. And it really, what was left hanging there was one of his aides tells him early when he's about to make the choice that you know, you're supposed to be the man of integrity and the maverick, and you're doing something for purely transparent electoral reasons, as opposed to who is a suitable vice president, which is what the Constitution demands.
Yeah, well, I think there's another, just knowing John personally, I think there's another element there too. I think, quite frankly, you know, if I put myself in his shoes during that time where they were trying to select a vice president, I think that Sarah Palin's sexuality may have had something to do with the choice, because there was John McCain and then all those other guys who were supposedly vetting her, and I think they were all hornswoggled by her glib talk and by her her cutesy sexuality and her beauty.
Well, that's a very interesting observation, and I think in many ways a very accurate one. Philip Butler, again, a 1961 graduate of the United States Naval Academy. He spent eight years as a POW in North Vietnam, knew John McCain in both contexts, and is a highly decorated combat veteran with two Silver Stars, two Legions of Merit, two Bronze Stars, and two Purple Hearts. Is now a peace and justice activist with Veterans for Peace. His website is philipbutlerphd.com, and his autobiography is Three Lives of a Warrior. So, how much, though, is McCain, and he seems to be working in tandem with Lindsey Graham. They were in many ways behind this push for the National Defense Authorization Act that the president threatened to veto, not because of its intrusion into domestic civil liberties, but because it would tie his hands on forcing a confrontation with Iran, which would then drive up the price of oil in an election year. We can see that that's already happening, although a lot of the price of oil is being gamed on Wall Street by speculators. What's your sense of how ruthless these guys are in terms of their determination to get rid of Obama, which seems to be very, very deeply felt in the Republican Party? Do you think that they're prepared to throw away any vestiges of bipartisanism?
Oh, absolutely, I think they are. I think the Republican Party right now is heavily invested. Both parties are invested, but the Republican Party is probably the most heavily invested in the military-industrial complex. I mean, if you look at the Middle East as a whole, and you back off some distance and take your vision off the various fires that are going on in the different places and everything, you know, our involvement there is largely because of a three-letter word, OIL. And it's a need for oil and the whole military-industrial complex that drives that thing and has got us embroiled, engaged in what in Vietnam was called a quagmire. This is a quagmire of epic proportions, even compared to Vietnam. The quagmire of the 1,200-year-old battle between the Sunnis and the Shias, and we're stuck right in the middle of all of this stuff.
Well, but the war that McCain and the neoconservatives supported, and after all, you know, his advisors, Randy Shoneman and his foreign policy advisors were out of the neocon camp. They're the ones who came up with Iraq. And what has Iraq done for American oil companies? What, I mean, look at the cost of Iraq, both in terms of lives and treasure. And what has the U.S. got out of it? It's just made Iran stronger.
Yeah, exactly. It has, of course. We played right into the hands of Iran. We served their interests greatly. I mean, Iran and Iraq fought a devastating war for, I don't know, a half dozen years or more, and just a slaughterhouse of a war between the two of them. And then we came in there and knocked off Saddam Hussein, who was the guy that perpetrated the war with Iran. So, you know, we did the dirty work really for Iran, and it was all about oil because we were afraid that Iraq was, and Saddam Hussein were going to come back and take over Kuwait, which again is oil, and you know, then the whole thing was really cooked up by the Bush administration, and I say administration, but that was before George Bush was even elected. Those Rumsfeld and Bush and Cheney and company, they had already figured out a plan and plotted for invading Iraq even before he was elected.
Well, all of that is true, and it's just, it's they should be indicted as war criminals. But they also, the point I'm making is, they also should be pilloried for their incompetence. Not that I'm justifying their motives and what they wanted to do, but the fact that they were such a manifest failure, and these are people who wear the flag. Wrap themselves in the flag and talk about patriotism and try to claim the patriotic high ground. But if you give them the reins of power, they bring nothing but disaster upon the United States and nothing but a reversal in the national security of this country.
Yeah, I think being in positions of power is highly corruptive. You know, in that in the movie Game Change, supposedly John McCain's motto was going to be country first. Well, ever since he's been in Congress, he's been a senator. It has never been country first. It's been Republican Party first. And his job is a senator first. And then his, you know, moving up to possibly becoming president of the United States first, well, long before country first. So that all of that stuff is just Hollywood fluff that, propaganda that's put up for the people to swallow, along with the Sarah Palin. You know, we saw her in the movie being Hollywoodized. They tried to dress her up prettier, you know, in expensive clothing, and then the word got out on how much had been spent on her clothes. And just a bunch of nonsense. It really had nothing whatsoever to do with any of the issues.
Well, but just in closing, it does seem that from your analysis, Dr. Philip Butler, that McCain is the Republican point man on national security. His job it is to do whatever he can. I mean, he said the most outrageous stuff about Obama's handling of Iraq, and the American people are quite happy to get out of Iraq. But if you listen to John McCain, it's the biggest, you know, withdrawing from Iraq was the worst catastrophe in American history. Getting into Iraq was clearly the worst catastrophe.
Absolutely. Oh, my God, yes.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Philip Butler.
Well, thank you, Ian. I enjoyed it, and hope to talk to you again sometime.
Indeed. Again, I've been speaking with Dr. Philip Butler, a 1961 graduate of the United States Naval Academy and a former light attack carrier pilot. In 1965, he was shot down over North Vietnam, where he spent 8 years as a prisoner of war. He's a highly decorated combat veteran who was awarded 2 Silver Stars, 2 Legions of Merit, 2 Bronze Stars, and 2 Purple Hearts. He completed his Navy career in 1981 as a professor of management at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California. Today, he's a peace and justice activist with Veterans for Peace, and his website is philipbutlerphd.com, and his autobiography is 3 Lives of a Warrior. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about the Book of Revelation.
Burning, I see Jesus coming. Jesus comes to pave the way. Do you believe in his sweet sensation? Do you believe?